podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hello and welcome to episode 27, holy cow, 27, of the Run, Run, Live podcast. This actually is the Run, Run, Live podcast, not the last one I uploaded. It was a speech that had nothing to do with the Run, Run, Live podcast, so skip that. So anyhow, good week, big week, busy week, crazy week. Tuesday I was out in Denver, just sort of an in and out. Got three runs in this week, you know, not good runs, but runs all the same. I did my 10K loop in the morning with the dog on Tuesday. I did a night run with the dog again, my normal 5.2 road loop. Did that Wednesday night, and then I did another 5 yesterday at lunch, and that was kind of nice. The weather's getting cool. We like it. Last night, it was almost down to freezing, and that means 0 degrees for all you Celsius people. That sounds pretty cool, 0 degrees. So yeah, big week. And I had my board meeting on Wednesday. It went pretty well. It went a lot better than I thought it was going to go. So that was great. And then I had an all-day meeting on Thursday. And Thursday night I went and delivered a speech at my Toastmasters Club. And that went really well too. So here it is, Friday, and great stuff. I'm going to interview Paul Funch today, who is the race director for the Groton Town Forest races, which are going to be on October 19th this year. And they're in the afternoon, so if you want to run the Bay State Marathon or the MDI Marathon in the morning and then come over to West Groton and run the Groton Road Race, best trail races in the world, the Groton Trail Race, and we'll talk about that today with Paul in the interview section. Also, I'm going to give you a quick tip. I'm going to actually walk you through the Bay State Marathon course and some of the milestones in my quick tip session. So all you Bay State Marathon guys, listen in for that. And a lot of stuff going on, man. A lot of stuff going on. I tried to give away a shirt last week. Nobody called. Nobody called to get the shirt. And these are not used shirts. These are experienced shirts. These shirts have hugged children. They have experienced the great ennui of post-race euphoria. These are good shirts. So anybody who calls me and leaves a message or shoots me an email or comes to my website, runrunlive.com, and signs up, I'm going to send you a race shirt signed. Who knows what it is, but it'll be something from the racing shrine. So anyhow, also got another blog post this week. I'm a featured blogger on a blog called IT Hire Wire with some people I met through LinkedIn. So hey, anybody who wants to read what I write, I'm all over the place. If you want, you know, you can go out to iTunes and give me a review. I don't really care if you do or not, because that's not why I'm doing this. But it was funny. I went out there to see if I had any reviews, and I had one, and I was all excited till I realized it was me reviewing myself, which was kind of funny. At least I left myself a good review. Bay State Marathon coming up. My club does the water stop on that, so if anybody has any stuff they want to position at mile 7.5/17.5, just let me know and we'll position that out there for you. Shout-outs this week to my friend Halina, who got me out of the Winnipesaukee relay this weekend, tomorrow, by finding a friend to run my leg for me. So thank you very much, Halina. You're my new BFF. Shout out to my friend Brian, who had a baby this week. Not him, his wife. Little Grace. I'm going to cut down some race shirts to infant size for her so we can get her out there on the track. And I won't lose any of my training buddies, because training buddies are hard to find. And another shout out to my friend Anthony, who started running again with his injury this week. Had to take 3 months off. So he's up and at it. Look out, world. And also my friend Jenny, who did an Olympic try. So anyhow, man, busy week. Keeping it real. Somebody, Sean, from the Trilogy, running podcast sent me an email. He said, how do you do all this stuff? How have you visited everywhere in the world? And it's pretty easy for me because I have no real life. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't gamble. I don't have a mistress. And I basically work, eat, sleep, and run. I'm willing to renegotiate all of that for the right offer, though. So, you know, give me a call. We'll work something out. Hey, we'll see you out there, man. I hope you enjoy the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Hey guys, I got a great equipment check tip for you today. Hey, you guys drink your coffee at Starbucks? I do. Some of these Starbucks, they give away these little single serve packages of honey. I tell you what, those make great sort of goo shots for you. A lot of energy in a half an ounce of honey. So next time you're in there, grab a handful of those, stuff them in your briefcase, take them with you on your trip, eat a couple before your runs. Honey's really good for you. It gives you a nice slow burn. It's a different type of sugar than the fructose and the sucrose that's in regular goos and power bars and that kind of stuff. It's a lot better for you. And they got nice recycled napkins, too. If you have kids and you're always wiping crap off of your car, put a handful of those in your car, too. So, hey, you know, it may sound silly, but something to think about.
And now for our featured interview.
Hey, we're back.
Hey, hi.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Yeah, all right.
You're a busy guy. You're hard to get on the phone.
Yeah, well, I don't like talking on the phone either.
So I got to give you kudos for the Wapak Trail Race this year. It was awesome. I had a blast. Good. I don't know about you, but I think it was one of the best years ever.
Oh, the weather-wise, it was fantastic, and good showing too. But good number of runners,
a lot of people. So what do we do, Paul? Go ahead and let me give you a little intro here. Paul Crunch, you're the race director for the Groton Pound Forest Trail Races, and also we've taken over as a club, our clubs, and Paul is also the race director for the Wapak Trail Race. That's what we were talking about. And the cool thing about this is that all the sort of the proceeds, you know, not that it's a $1 million business, but all the proceeds from all this activity goes back into the trails and helps maintain the trails and helps the conservation in the woods and, you know, sort of keep all these nice woodsy places that we have around here. And Paul is also an avid trail runner and a member of the trail running community, which is a really strange bunch of people that we have here in New England across America. Right?
Well, there are a number of strange sport types, but yeah, we're definitely one of them.
Yeah. And you're fast, too. You kicked my ass at Wapak. And not that that's hard to do with me, but I thought I put in a reasonable time, and you still beat me by like 4 minutes.
Yeah, but you were in training mode. You know, I'm in a racing mode, so yeah. I give a lot of credit to you for keeping up the high volume of miles that you're doing. So
it's all fun.
Yep.
So one of the things I like about this race, the Groton Pound Forest Trail Race, besides the fact that it supports the trails and trail conservation, is the course. This is my favorite trail course in the world of all the trail races I've run. So describe this course to us and what makes it so cool and the race.
Well, let's see. It starts out pretty tame. It starts out on an old abandoned railroad bed. That now it looks like just a kind of narrow dirt road, and goes actually out of the town forest a bit over some railroad tracks, makes a bend around a area that's often flooded by the Squanicook River if the river is high, but in October it's not flooded, and make a loop through that and come back into the town forest over the railroad tracks again, and then you kind of start into the little ups and downs of the hills there. But nothing too much on the backside of the town forest. And then suddenly, you know, after about a mile and a half, you go up a fairly steep hill. You know, the hills in the town forest aren't large mountainous type things, but, you know, they're maybe 100 feet high, that kind of thing at the highest.
You get some great ridges, which have these real steep ups, real steep downs, and it's all, you know, single track, swinging from trees, jumping over logs kind of stuff. And then tell us about the unique feature of this course is the glacial kettles. Tell us what a glacial kettle is and what it's like to run through one.
Yeah, the kettle holes are, they're maybe 100 feet in diameter or something like that, and maybe 40 to 50 feet deep. And they were pressed down by the glaciers that were on top of them, or water dripping down, so that it just made a depression, I guess, is how they formed. I'm not exactly
sure. Right, or a big chunk of ice melted and left like a hole in the floor of the forest.
Right.
When the glaciers receded. Right. And, so they're like these sort of perfectly round pot-shaped holes in the forest, about 100 yards around and 50 yards deep.
Yeah, when you run down and you stand at the bottom of the thing, you look up, it's just this, like you're in a little volcano. There's a round hole that you're in the bottom of.
Right.
It's kind of neat. And they're very, very steep walls, so both the downhill and the uphill is kind of exciting.
I'm always bad at this, Paul, but in terms of grade, I've got to say the grade coming up out of some of those kettles is, 25?
Yeah, probably in that order. I'm thinking, because Mount Washington's 13%, and it's, twice that, or, almost twice that.
Yeah. So you're close to 30% grade, if you can picture that in your mountain. And like Paul said, Mount Washington, which is a very steep mountain, is like 13%. And if you look at your average treadmill, and you turn it up all the way, it only goes up the 15% incline. That's a
right.
good way to do a run.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And climbing out of these kettles and going down into them, so you scream down into them. They're only like 30 to 50 feet long. You scream down into them. You hit the bottom. It's only like 10 feet across, and then you're up the other side at this 30% incline. It's really a hoot.
Yep, and I think the other thing to the Town Forest Trails Fund is they are mostly single track and just kind of wind around, and some of them are have been eroded a bit by the bikes that have used it in the past. Not so much mountain bikes as the motorbikes, which are now banned in the forest, but they were there for many years. And so some of these narrow trails are banked and kind of interesting twist on the usual trail running. But they're, they're very windy trail, so it's kind of fun. It's no long linear segments.
Right. It's not like an old country road. You'll be running out there, and you'll be twisting and turning, and you won't have any idea where you are or where you're going. And you'll see somebody running in the other direction, and you don't know whether you're ahead of them or behind them, or they're lost or you're lost. And it's just a blast.
Yes, at times you do see people. We've tried to mark it pretty well now, so that you actually will stay on the course and not be attracted to those runners who might be ahead of you. And if you went right to where they are, it would be a shortcut.
So
we try to keep people on the trail, but there are some places where it seems odd, depending on where you are in the pack and who you see in front of you. Yep.
And so there's two races, and it's all fairly low maintenance, like trail races are. Trail races aren't like the New York City Marathon, where you have this huge infrastructure and all this stuff and all this expense. Trail races tend to be mom and pop affairs. You bake goods, and so tell me about the races and how it works and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all in the town forest, so there are no road crossings. The trick is not to get people, from getting hit by cars, but the idea is to keep them from getting too overly lost. We had a number of experiments in the first few years when quite a few people got lost on segments, and over the years we've learned where you need to mark really well and where you need to just tape up and make sure people don't go, because they'll never get back if they go that way, at least not soon. So the preparation for the race is the day before the race, actually the evening before. Myself and Mark Graff, who also is in the club, go out and mark the courses, at least two-thirds of it as we have time, as before it gets dark, and then finish up in the morning first thing, because it's used by other lots of other people to Town Forest, so we try not to mark it until late in the evening, the night before, and then finish up the morning of the race, so that things aren't taken down inadvertently or intentionally or whatever over.
Vandalized.
Right. So that takes a few hours to mark the course, and But that's all done ahead of time, and then once that's done, that's, you know, it's pretty much controlled, you know, where people are going. And then the morning of the race, just put out the water stops and do a few last-minute blockings of the road to make sure that people don't go in there on bikes and cars, and we're all set to go. So, yeah, it's fairly easy once you've got it marked. You know, you don't need to have a lot of people out there. This year we're going to have a number of people out there, though, because the USA Track and Field New England is having their one of their cross-country Grand Prix races is the 3.4-mile course this year.
So,
two more runners.
Yeah, so that's cool. We're hitting the New England Grand. It's not the Grand Prix, it's the Grand Tree.
Well, there's three things. There's actually the USA Track and Field New England. It's a Grand Prix cross-country series.
Okay.
And then in addition, it's also part of the Western Mass Athletic Club's Grand Tree series. But both the long and the short races are part of the Grand Tree series.
The short race is a 3.5, but it's still got the kettle and all the good geography. And
yep,
the long race is like a 9.8. Is that right?
I'm sorry. The long race is
9.8 miles.
9.5 and 3.4 is the short one.
Okay.
As near as we can tell. That's the other thing about Sturo races. You don't get a whole real accurate measure of most of them. They're pretty approximate. In fact,
right.
When I first started the races 11 years ago, you know, I just called it 3 and 9, I think. But people got a little too upset because they said, well, how far is it? I mean, is it exactly 3? I said, no. So after explaining to everybody that it wasn't exactly 9, I went out and measured it with my bike, so I got a little better measure. But, you know, I'm not going to swear that it's my bike's 9.5 miles an hour distance. So that's the certification standard.
Yeah, so I think, you know, with trail races, it isn't really that important. And so,
no.
You know, you got to remember the first rule of long-distance running is you always round up. So it's really 10 and 4.
Exactly.
So you get the Grand Prix there. You get the Grand Tree there. So this is good. Instead of finishing 10th in my age class, now I'm going to be 25th in my age class. Great.
Yeah, it could be a good number. We may get like 30 to 70 in that range. I really don't know. New runners on a cross-country series. So that'd be kind of definitely picking up the pace, I think. We might see some records fall this year on that course. So.
Yeah, I usually run the long one. I only run the short one if I'm injured. And on the long one, this would be good to have more people out there because typically when you get past to like 7-8 miles, you're all alone. And there's nobody, you know, there's nobody to run with. And you start thinking, am I still on the course? Yeah.
Well, you're not going to have any. You're not going to have more on the long one. Just on the short one.
Just on the short run?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, it's still going to be lonely out there.
Okay, what's the date and time and website? How do I sign up, that sort of thing?
The date is October 19th. That's a Sunday. And the 9.5-mile race starts at 12:30. The 3.4-mile race starts at 12:40.
Yep.
And the website is www.grottentftr, Town Forest Trail Races. So grottentftr.freeservers.com.
Yep.
And the application form there, you can... How much?
Yeah.
How much is $15? Includes insurance.
This is the other thing I love about trail races. Yeah, these trail races are typically $15-$20. It's not, you know, it's not your $90 race.
Yep,
and you still get a nice long-sleeve T-shirt out of the deal.
Not short sleeve, but this one. But it's technical.
Oh, that's right. You get the tech shirts now. I'm wearing one of those long sleeve green ones right now. That's why I was saying that.
Yeah, those are nice. Although, you know, the weather's been pretty nice most of the times when we have the race, and you don't need a long sleeve T-shirt. So we have a short sleeve technical shirt this year for $15. It's a real deal this year. $20 on race day, but if you register before a week before the race, it's $15.
All right, good, great stuff. And I remember one year we test ran the course in the pouring rain. That was a hoot.
Yeah, we haven't had bad rains. You know, it rained a couple of years, but nothing too bad. So we're on a pretty good streak. It's a nice time of year. And there's plenty of good food at the end, usually. You know, a lot of baked goods. People bring all kinds of brownies and cookies, and we have, you know, fruits and things like that, and yogurts, and just a mix of stuff. So it's and then in the senior center is where the registration is and where people come back for the food at the end. And it's a nice big place with lots of places to sit around, both inside and outside. And, you know, it's a real nice, friendly atmosphere for everybody to kind of exchange stories before and after the race. So it works out really well.
Yeah, and this is another cool thing about the trail racing versus the road racing is the trail racers are all really laid back. They're like surfers. And they're so cool to hang around with.
Yep, you know? It's a good group of people. It is a lot of fun. You know, and when you're running trails, you know, you're often just talking with each other and you know, just catching up on things and you know, it's a real social kind of competition. You know, sometimes towards the end of the longer races, you know, it gets a little more quiet and people are just working hard, but oftentimes there is a lot of conversation going on. As you're going up hills and walking, and it's a fun sport. A lot of interesting people.
Yeah, so I love this race. So you can run your marathon in the morning, and then drive out to West Groton to run the trail race.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's good.
I did that one. Yeah, I ran Bay State, and then I did the very fine 5 mile race.
I remember the very fine 5 miler. I love that race. They don't do that anymore.
No.
The Rotary over here, they replaced it with that Appleman Triathlon.
Yeah,
the triathlon, you know, the 5 mile race you could charge $20 for. The triathlon you can charge $100, right?
Yeah, but the race director, they're very fine. Always kept that down. It was subsidized by the company, and
right.
So all the registration fees went to the Rotary Club, and he kept it down real inexpensive.
Well, the Rotary still is the beneficiary of all the. Of all the stuff from the triathlon too, they go through that firm company, and I think the firm company gets all the advertising revenue, but then the host gets the gate.
Yeah.
So you figure you got 200 people at $100 a pop, or you know maybe it's $70 to $90 a pop. You know that's a pretty good gig for the Rotary there.
Yeah, the only reason I bring that up is because the race director was an avid trail runner as well, and definitely adopted the idea of you know, no frills, kind of a you know basic races with low fees, and just have a lot of fun. And I think he did a good job of keeping that philosophy throughout the long number of years that race went on.
But yeah.
It was actually born of a trail runner's you know philosophy.
Yeah, and I think we're probably going to start seeing more and more of that as people get jaded on these big city, big overhead races. Because I don't really like doing that anymore, you know? I'd rather be in the woods with 100 of my closest friends than out on a highway someplace with 20,000 of my people I don't know.
Yeah. There's definitely something to be said for that.
Yeah, and, but that's just because I'm one of those crusty old guys that whines a lot.
Well, you know, when you're young and you're fast, I guess maybe, you know, go hit the roads as hard as you want. But, you know, when you want to take life a little bit more, you know, fully and have some scenery and you can still compete as much as you want on the trails. And there's certainly fast guys on the trails, but it's also a place where you can enjoy the scenery, enjoy the conversation. And so it's a more varied sort of sport.
Yeah, listen to us talking. We both have qualifying times in our back pocket, so we don't care, right?
Yeah, well, talking about big races with, you know, high entrance fees, Boston Marathon certainly
qualified.
Yeah, you know, boy, for the honor of running it, you get to pay $125, you know.
But you know what? I think it's almost worth it because it's sort of like going to Disney World for me.
Yeah.
I get a high entertainment value out of that.
It is something else, yeah.
So, Paul ran with us last year, and I think you could run again this year, right, because you only need, like, what, a 340 now to qualify?
345 or something, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, good on you for staying so healthy. All right, man, so everybody should run the Grattantown Forest Trail Race. I'll let you go because I think I didn't start my watch, which is typical for me, but I think we're somewhere around 20, 25 minutes, so we'll let you go.
Right.
I've been cooking my tacos this whole time, and my hamburger's almost ready.
All right, you got enough material?
Yep, you got enough material. Excellent. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you at the race, man.
Very good. Thanks, Chris, for putting it together. Sorry I was late. Bye now.
Here's today's quick tips.
Okay, folks, today I'm going to give you tips for all you folks who are running the Bay State Marathon. And in general, it's good when you're running a marathon to have a lot of landmarks, stuff that you can keep in your head so you can mentally have progress on the course and something to look forward to and things to sort of tick off as you go. It also helps when you're visualizing, when you're preparing for your marathon, when you're visualizing how you will feel and what you will do at each of these landmarks. Now, I, listening, have heard that a lot of you guys are going for your qualification or are training for the Bay State Marathon that's coming up. And the Bay State is one of my old friends. I have qualified twice at Bay State. Actually, my first qualified marathon was at the Bay State Marathon, one of the great joys of my life. Of course, that was on the old course. The new course I have not qualified on. I came within 2 minutes, but that's another story. So I'll tell you what to do here. I'm going to walk through the course with you. So get your Bay State map out, and that's at baystatemarathon.com/images/marathon. And you're starting downtown, and that first bit of the course, all you got to do is sort of stay within yourself and try not to speed up too much. When you get out to about the first water stop, which is right along the river there by the Humane Society across from Lowell Tech, where I have one of my degrees from, you're going to come up right after that water stop. There's going to be a little hill. So if you've gone out too fast, that little hill is a good place to reassess your pace. It's a real little hill, but it's nice and steep, and it's a nice breakup in this otherwise flat course. And then you're going to run through a little industrial section that's sort of retail and car washes and Dunkin' Donuts and stuff. And then your first major milestone is going to be the bridge on your right that you're going to pass right about at mile 3. Now, this is also where you start the second loop. This is a two-loop course, or parts of this course are two loops. So mile 3 is also going to be mile 13 when you come around the second time as you cross over this bridge. First time you're going to pass right by this bridge. Second time you're going to be coming off this bridge in the same direction. Now, we always called this a temporary bridge because it was some sort of boondoggle with the state where they were going to, this bridge wasn't supposed to be here for this long, but I think it's called the Rourke Bridge. Anyhow, you're going to see that on your right. That's the start of the loop. So remember everything for the second time around from this point on. You're going to run through some neighborhoods, and you're going to take at mile 4, next major milestone, mile 4, and then second time around at mile 14, there's going to be a water table and a hard right. This is important because this is the only major hill on this course, and major is sort of tongue-in-cheek if you're from around here, but if you haven't been training hills, you want to know it's coming. This is a hill in both directions, so you're going to be going up it for about a half a mile. You watch your pace, but then coming off the backside, you get a nice, long, shallow downhill through the center of Chelmsford at mile 5 and 15, and then you will be able to see the river and railroad tracks on your right, and there's sort of a long, easy rocking chair section in 6, 7, 8, or 16, 17, 18 until you cross until the next bridge. Now, in this section, it's really good for getting within yourself and pacing. It's nice and shaded in most places, and it's nice and, you know, no real hills here, so it's a good place to draft. If you can find somebody to run the same pace, form a little drafting group and relax and just get into it, okay? You know, work your pace here. Now, what you're gonna, on mile 7.5, 17.5, there's going to be a water stop. This water stop happens to be manned by my running club. So the Squanicook River runners will be there. If anybody wants me to position any kind of stuff for them at mile 17.5, 7.5, I'm more than willing to do that. Shoot me an email. Then right after that, less than a mile, maybe like 3/4 of a mile, you're going to hit the bridge. And if you keep looking on your right as you're running up this section, you might see the bridge through the trees. And this is the turnaround point for this race. So you're going to cross that bridge over the mighty Merrimack River at mile 8. Important because the second time you cross is going to be mile 18. And if you've managed your race correctly, it should be a non-event. But if you've made some mistakes in your tactics, mile 18 is where the wheels might start to fall off. Now, the backside of this course, this loop, is also very well shaded. There's some decent landmarks out here on miles 8 through 12 or 18 through 22. You're going to see a long field with a white fence running along the side of it. You're going to see a golf course on your left. These are both on your left. Then you're going to see the tech school. And then in another 2 or so miles of flat, wide roads, you're going to cross that bridge again and loop, right, for the first loop. The second loop, you're going to be in the red zone. You're going to be doing miles 20, miles 21, miles 22. And right after mile 22, the second time around, you're not going to turn on the bridge. You're going to keep going down the boulevard, and you're going to come all the way down to another bridge, cross the river, and head towards the stadium where the finish is. This is a little deceptive because you finish inside the stadium, but they make you run all the way around the outside of the stadium in the third base or the left field wall door, and then run all the way around the bases to finish. So it's actually, you're crossing over that bridge, you can see the stadium, you're thinking you're at the finish, you're actually got another, you know, quarter mile or so of run around in circles and some fairly tight corners and jumping curbs and this kind of stuff. And there, as if I remember, there's people milling around too. So those are your landmarks on this course. This last section has a lot of downhill in it, so it's good for picking up speed. Watch your drafting, watch your pacing. You're going to qualify. We'll see you in Hoppington.
Say, and now for listener comments. Come on, say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Come on, say it. Say it. You're almost there. Come on, say it. Come on.
And now for listener comments.
Hey, Chris, this is Sean from Trilogy Running. I figured I'd go ahead and call the listener hotline since you sounded like you really wanted somebody to, so I thought I'd help you out. I'm on my way right now to get some batteries for the recorder for tomorrow's run. I had an idea, or more like a request, of something you could do for a show. Since you're going to be running that 50-miler in a couple weeks, I was wondering if there was some way you could possibly bring the recorder along and do little check-ins, kind of like Ultra Dad did, because I find that was just a good show, and it was kind of cool just to see how everybody was holding up along the run. I was kind of hoping you would do that. I know you don't really enjoy, or you wanted to avoid doing an actual run cast because of the heavy breathing, but I don't know, maybe you could take it out and talk while you're walking up a hill or something. Anyway, just a thought, just an idea. Looking forward to the next show. Bye.
Hey, Sean, thanks for the comment. That was cool. You know the way to a man's heart. Hey, just for that, send me your address, and I'll shoot you a race T-shirt, and I'll make sure it's something cool, something unique for Atlanta. So anyhow, yeah, I mean, I can do that, but I basically have a handheld device. You know, the long races, I churn up a lot of sweat, and I don't want to wreck my device. And it's kind of, when you get into the, you know, past 26 miles, you get kind of dopey, so you tend to do things like forget to shut it off and that sort of thing. But I'll do my best. I'll figure it out. Tell you what I'll do. I'll turn on the recorder, and I will record all 10 hours of the race, and then I'll put that up as a podcast. And I'll even take the 2 hours before the 2 hours after. I'll make a day of it. What do you think, huh? No? Well, all right. Thanks, man. All right, that's it. Episode 27 in the can. Hey, I was talking to somebody. I'm hoping I can get them on the show. They're adventure races. And I guess this is like ultra races on steroids. You go for like 3 days with no sleep and do swinging from trees and kayaking and push-ups and mudslides and all sorts of good stuff. I don't know where this sickness is going to lead me. I actually found myself looking at a website today and going, skydiving. That looks like fun. I don't know. There's no end in sight. This pathology is endless, this running pathology. So anyhow, yeah, send me some comments, and I'll have some more shows up next week. 7 days to my ultra, and I'm not worried about it at all. Well, pretty soon I'm going to start training. Maybe I'll go out and do some training and get ready for it. So, all right. Hey, love you guys. We'll see you out there. Look forward to sharing my successful ultra with all of you as well. I'm going to finish this with a song. You're going to recognize this song. It's by a fairly major, famous group. And I'm sure that whatever copyright deal they made to get the singer on this extends to the proud father of the singer. So this is one of mine singing this. So hope you like it. Bye.
Blackbird singing in the night. Oh, no.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.